Acts chapter 17. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever played the game hide and seek or hide and go seek? I remember that growing up, I had the opportunity. I grew up in New York, and by the way, for the record, there is a lot more in New York other than just New York City. Okay, so if you go north, I grew up in the Catskills, and we used to go to camp up in the Adirondacks, which it's funny, upstate New York, true upstate New York, is anything from Albany and north up in the Adirondacks area. The news media calls upstate New York anything like 5 or 10 miles north of New York City, okay, which is kind of humorous. But we went up there as a kid. I had the opportunity to go to camp, which was, of course, if you've ever been to camp, how many of you have ever gone to a camp before? Okay, probably some of the sweetest times. Okay, whether, you know, hopefully it was a Christian camp, if not, but just the memory of camp and the sights, the sounds, the smells. And I remember that usually at the end of the week, we would always have the chance when the counselors and us as the, you know, the folks visiting there would play hide and seek, and the counselors would hide. And up in the Adirondacks, you have these tall pine trees, and these counselors were good. They would climb up those pine trees, and we could never find them. And I remember it was very, very frustrating in that. And, you know, it's interesting. This afternoon, we're going to see a story in Scripture that is almost somewhat frustrating, just like hide and seek. It almost seems like the people of Athens thought that their god or their gods play hide and seek, and just in case they missed one, they even had an altar worshiping the unknown god. And so you're in Acts chapter 17, and we're going to read, we'll look at verses 22 through 34, Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 22. Then Paul said in the midst of Mars Hill, Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. You know, we're about to conduct a holiday Bible club at Faith Baptist Church using a detective theme. And as we look into God's Word for the next couple of days during this holiday Bible club, will the children see God as a God who likes to play hide and seek? Or do the Scriptures present our God in a different light? Let's pray. Father, I do pray in these next few moments that, God, you would encourage our hearts. God, thank you so much for Faith Baptist Church, for this local body of believers that stands true to your word, that has a love for you and wants to reach out to the community. And God, just thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity to be a part of that. And so, Father, I pray as we look into your word this afternoon that, God, you would help us to uncover these truths through the Holy Spirit's leading, and that we would truly see you for who you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, let's look at the confusion. Verses 22 and 23. Verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" So let's have a little background on this. Now, Paul was in Athens, Greece, and Athens was really the uni center of the world at this time, in the era of great philosophers of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Pericles, Demosthenes, and Euripides. Speaking of Euripides, Pastor Frank, did you hear about the Italian guy that, what he told his son, that as he went outside with his brand new pair of pants, brought him back in and they were ripped? Did you hear about that?
No.
Speaking, he came back inside, the kid wore his pants out. It was his church pants. He came back in and they were ripped. And he looked at the kid and he goes, "Luigi! Euripides, what's the matter for you?" So anyway, speaking of Euripides, you know, you got to tell a good Italian joke, okay? So Euripides. Well, Paul was waiting for Silas and Timothy to come from another city. He did what any tourist does in Athens. So picture Paul here in this scene. Paul goes sightseeing, kind of like what we did a little bit yesterday, what we'll be doing over the next 4 weeks, little by little. As the apostle walked around the city, he saw the gods of Athens, the idols that were being worshipped. One of the ancient writers tells us that at this time there were 30,000 gods in Athens. Pederonius, one of the ancient historians, said that it was easier to find a god in Athens than a man. With 30,000 of them, you can see why this would be true. And so Paul's walking around as a tourist, noticing all of these things. And Paul noticed, very interesting, how devoted and religious they were in their worship. Probably, you know, observing the altars as he was walking around, their statues, their different gods. And just in case they missed one, even noticed their altar to the unknown God. You know, God, it's interesting that Paul somewhat complimented them. Very interesting. Complimented them even on their ignorant worship. And you know, that's interesting, because as I was thinking about that, you know, sometimes there are people who we would disagree with that don't necessarily serve the true God, but yet a lot of times these people are very fervent about what they do. You know, in fact, there's some religions that people are even willing to die for their God or to blow themselves up, but it's kind of sad sometimes that we as Christians aren't even willing to live for our God. And so we kind of see, you know, Paul here even kind of compliments them on their ignorant worship. And so the application here and the confusion is, you know, as we think about this holiday Bible club, you know, there will be children coming to our holiday Bible club who are confused. Some are just ignorant. Others ignorantly worship religion. And as we investigate the Bible and share the scriptures through Bible stories, through our songs, through our crafts, through our puppets, we need to make sure that what we are very clear and don't cause confusion. Because 1 Corinthians 14:33 says what? "For God is not the author of confusion." And so we see the situation here. First of all, notice the confusion surrounding their supposed hide-and-seek religion. But secondly, Paul presents the Creator to these people. Look at verses 24 through 26. Verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." And so what Paul is doing is he's laying out, and by the way, this is a great passage. Of course, the application we're trying to make is directly connected to our holiday Bible club that's coming up. But this is a great passage in dealing with unsaved people, because Paul, you know, is going around and he sees this, and obviously he's very moved by it. And so God actually gives him a platform. And so literally he's going to be walking through the gospel. And at the end, we see the decisions that were made, but we see Paul here presenting the Creator. We see in these verses that God made the world, one blood, all nations. God made all things dwelling on the face of the earth. We see Paul saying he is above man, the Lord of heaven and earth, determined the times, their bounds of their habitation. We see that Paul is appealing to them that, hey, God is different than man. We see the phrase, dwelleth not in temples, or not worshipped by men's hands. And then we notice that Paul's appeal is that, hey, God, the true God, is not accountable to man. We see the phrase, as though he needed anything. He's the one that provides life and breath to man. You know, it's interesting. I mean, as we look all throughout Scripture in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God obviously was already there. Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth or ever had formed the earth, thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. I love this verse. In fact, turn to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. I don't know. Pastor Frank, I can't prove it, but Nebuchadnezzar, I have a hunch in reading this that maybe he might be in heaven someday. I don't know this, but what a testimony. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar, it's interesting, speaking of politics, President Trump reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar, very kind of puffed up, you know, type of thing in that. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar went through what he did and was quite humbled. And notice in Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 and 35, notice the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Verse 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And so you read that testimony, it's like, wow, you know, God really got a hold of Nebuchadnezzar. And so, you know, the application in presenting the Creator as we think of our holiday Bible club is there will be children coming to our holiday Bible club who have never heard of the Creator or who have a distorted view of the Creator. And as we investigate the Bible and share scriptures through, again, Bible stories, through our songs, through our crafts, through our puppets, we need to make sure we clearly point the children to the Creator. As Jesus says in John 8:28, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And so as we look, Paul deals with the confusion. Obviously, as he's walking around, he sees, wow, these people of Athens are very confused. And so he's methodically, he's got an audience. You could see him as he's now methodically going through. He presents the Creator. But number three, notice that he presents care, the care that the Creator has for people. Look at verses 26 through 29. As Paul is kind of methodically going through, dealing with the confusion, presenting the Creator, so gets the people looking up where they should be, and then all of a sudden starts to share the care in verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Well, it's interesting that as we look at those verses, we see the God of the Bible does not desire to give man a religion. The God of the Bible so much desires to give man a relationship. The God of the Bible is not interested in what man can do for him. The God of the Bible is incredibly interested in doing something for man. You know, it's important as you look at verse 27, God is not a God who plays hide and seek with man. Rather, God wants us to seek and find him. And that's our theme during the Holiday Bible Club. You know, in this case, these Athenians, you know, with all of these idols and all, and even one of the unknown God, it's like, ooh, you know, maybe we can find God. We're really not sure. Kind of like that hide and seek. But, you know, that's why our theme in the Holiday Bible Club is no, let's seek and find God. Let's uncover the clues from Scripture. You know, in doing some detective work, let's go ahead right now and crack the code. Let's solve what seems to be a mystery to many. How do we find God? You ever have somebody ask you, how do you know there's a God? How do you find him? Well, I think that's what we're going to be talking about in the next couple of days in the Holiday Bible Club. But this afternoon, two things. First of all, the Bible talks about conscience, our conscience. In Romans 1:19 and also in Romans 2:15, it says in Romans 1:19, because that which may be known of God. Okay, so that's in the, you know, that in the Greek, that's known of God. So this is something that's going to happen, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Romans 2:15. Which show the work of the law, okay, the law, okay, the Bible, written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. And so we see one of the ways as we start to uncover the clues is, hey, how do you know there's a God? Well, first of all, you know, let's say if we did believe in evolution. Okay, so we see things evolve, but how do you evolve a conscience? How do you evolve right and wrong? So obviously that can't happen. Obviously we don't believe in evolution. And so the Bible is very clear, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. So how do we bear witness that there is a God? Because there's a right, there's a wrong, there's a conscience. But number two, we see God, as we do some more detective work, let's crack the code, we see God is revealed through creation. In Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3, Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3. In fact, turn there. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 19. So, in this case, God is not a God that plays hide and seek. God wants us to seek and find him. So, how do we find him? We find him through a conscience. We know there's a right or wrong. We feel that feeling of guilt. And then the Bible says, through creation. In Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Notice verse 2. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. So that means 24/7, God is speaking. God is speaking. Where is he speaking? The heavens declare the glory of God. Now notice verse 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. That means every person throughout the face of the planet, wherever they are, in the deepest heart of Africa, in the jungles of the Amazon, it says, verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. What are we talking about? The voice of God. Through what? The firmament. We've had the privilege of being at camp out in Walker Flat, which is coming back this way toward Melbourne, and the nice thing is that, you know, we're out in the middle of nowhere, right along the Murray River, beautiful spot, no lights at all. And I will tell you, when we come here during your winter time, your winter sky is beautiful, just gorgeous. The stars are brighter, particularly in the winter time. And being out at that camp, you talk about, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And so, you know, as Paul is talking and sharing the care that, hey, listen, the true God is not this hide and seek God, but the true God is seek and find him. And you can find him. The Bible is very clear that we can find him by conscience, knowing that, hey, there's a right and there's a wrong and there's guilt. And also through creation. You know, we're going on week number 4 up to Queensland, and we're going out into Western Queensland to a place called Taroom. We get the opportunity of ministering to several Aboriginal communities. In fact, very interesting, several Baptist churches working together. Okay, that's an oxymoron. Okay, but I mean, several Baptist churches working together to evangelize 27 Aboriginal towns and letterbox them, and just to try to plant a church. And they've planted 3 churches now in different communities. And when you're out in that sky, there's a place called Taroom. We were on a Saturday night. They had a big campfire. and just fellowship around the fire, but looking up in that night sky, just gorgeous. And so what's the application for us? In this present world of hate, death, and destruction, praise God that we have a God who still cares for his creation, who loves us when we are so unlovely. With this warped view of love that we have in the world, as the children come to our holiday Bible club, we need to make sure that we present how much God cares for and loves people. As for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. You know, we sing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, we need to make sure we clearly share the love of our God. And as it says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we've seen the confusion surrounding their supposed hide-and-seek religion, their gods. Paul clearly presents the Creator and the care that he shows to these people. Now, finally, we see the cure. The cure for a lost and dying world, for those who are seeking the unknown God. Look at verses 30 and 31, back in Acts chapter 17. Verses 30 and 31. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repent simply means we're going in one direction. Change of mind, okay? Change of direction. Repenting. I'm going this way, but we're going this way. Verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. You know, as we think of the characteristics of God all throughout Scripture, his grace, his mercy, his love, his long-suffering, we see God's command here. God's command is to repent. Repent. Turn. Okay? Change of mind. Listen, you're going one direction. In fact, Elijah said it best in 1 Kings 18:21. How long halt you between two opinions? There's only two opinions. Either serve God or serve Baal. You know, sometimes as Christians we get this idea, well, here's God on this side, here's the world on this side, but I can kind of get in the middle. That's nowhere found in Scripture. Actually, it is found in Scripture. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus, in his own words, in the words of Red, spoke about the church of Laodicea, that because they were lukewarm, he would spew them out of his mouth. The word spew in the Greek literally means to vomit or to puke in that. And so we see God's command to repent. We see God's condemnation, judgment. Notice the verses there, by that man whom he hath ordained, Jesus Christ. But yet, isn't it interesting that that condemnation, God loves and loved mankind in providing Jesus Christ. And of course, you know John 3:16, we just read it. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, because the world was already condemned, but that the world through him might be saved. Why? Because everyone is born condemned to die. You know, it's interesting. Jesus didn't go around condemning. You know, as Christians, sometimes we're a very condemning people, can we not? But in this case, it's interesting. All throughout the gospel, Luke 19 says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come into the world to condemn, because we're already condemned already. And so, in this case, everyone that's born is condemned to die, not only physically, but spiritually, an eternal separation from God in a place he calls hell. Why? Because we're all sinners. We've offended a holy and righteous God. And so, what's the cure? Well, it is faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you and I, and that we can never do for ourselves. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what's the application for us here this afternoon? You know, it's wonderful to present the Creator and the care that he has for people, but we would do a great injustice if we didn't present the cure. You know, if we went through the Bible, Holiday Bible Club, we had all these really cool stories and all that stuff, but yet that's all they were. And so we see that Paul does what? Paul goes right to what we would say the jugular. Basically says, listen, you know, there's condemnation. And, you know, in this case, as far as, you know, he's appointed a day in which he will judge. But praise the Lord, as children come to our holiday Bible club, we need to make sure that we take every opportunity to clearly present the gospel. And so we've seen the confusion surrounding their hide-and-seek religion, the religiosity, and Paul's presentation of the Creator and the care that he has toward these people and the cure for their unknown God status. And so my question finally is, what happened? What happened? Paul laid it all out. And of course, there at Athens, you know, everybody, Mars Hill, you know, people were used to standing up there and just, well, I mean, they'd speak, but they'd give some oration. And, you know, it's kind of like, okay, next, you know, and everybody kind of do their show. And so Paul basically laid it all out. And so look at verses 32 through 34. What's the conclusion? Verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Verse 33, so Paul departed from among them. Verse 34, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. And so we really see four results of Paul, of this laying out, you know, the Creator and the care he has and the cure for mankind. And we see all of them heard. So it's interesting, you know, in the next couple of days, all these children are going to hear. They're all going to hear the gospel. Some mocked, meaning, and by the way, we do that today in adults, okay, children, teenagers, adults. You know, some is like, oh, this is a bunch of rubbish. This is nonsense. Okay, others contemplated. Okay, you know, we will hear thee again. This matters. Very interesting. Yes, they rejected, but they were, at least the seeds were planted. I think Pastor Frank had mentioned something about the seeds were planted. But yet, notice that certain men believed. You know, when sharing the gospel with someone, you always have three participants. Three participants. The one sharing the gospel, the one receiving the gospel, and then the Holy Spirit. And just real quickly, the Holy Spirit who does what? The Holy Spirit that, according to John 14, 26, brings the things of Christ to remembrance, guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit who, according to Romans 8 and Ephesians 6, helps us in prayer and interceding before God. The Holy Spirit that convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment and can help us live godly lives in John 16 and also Ezekiel 36. And in Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit who ultimately gives us the power to be a witness. And so as we go into this holiday Bible club, don't forget the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's, you know, that's the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to bring the conviction. The Holy Spirit is the one that's, you know, can help us live godly lives and do what's right. But as far as our part, let's make sure that as we go into the holiday Bible club, that we do our part by in praying for the hearer, as it says in Matthew 13:8, that the seed, the word of God, would fall into good ground and bring forth fruit, and that God would prepare the hearts to receive the word with all readiness of mind. You know, it's interesting, in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, I've got, you know how you have favorite verses in the Bible? This is one of my favorite, were the Bereans. And people say, well, why were the Bereans so noble? Well, they searched the scriptures to see whether those things be so. I would say yes, but that was only because of something prior. And that is, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture. And so we can pray for what? That God would allow these children to be receptive to his word. And then praying for each other. Even if you're not going to be part of the Holiday Bible Club, you can be part of the Holiday Bible Club. You may not be physically present here, but you can pray. Pray specific, again, for the hearer that, you know, the seed would fall on good ground and that he would prepare the hearts, but for each other that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, and that we would clearly present the gospel of Christ. As God promises in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. You know, isn't it amazing that all we have to do is to be faithful? We just share the seed. We can't force anybody to get saved. That's not our job. Our job is what? To be a witness, to sow the seed. It's up to God, the Holy Spirit, to take that word and that seed and work it. And so, and then, of course, pray also, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Pray that as we go, that this is not just something we tick the box and we say, "Hey, we've done a holiday Bible club," but knowing that what? Our labor's not going to be in vain. Why? Because we're sharing, we're holding forth the word of life. And we're praying that we're rightly dividing it, and we're giving it out to the kids. And then last, but probably most important, pray for his glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." And then John 15:16, "That fruit should remain." Hey, people of Athens. Hey, people of Faith Baptist Church. Hey, people of Faulkner. We are not pursuing the unknown God that plays the game of hide and seek. Rather, praise God that we have a God who cares and has a cure. A God that allows us, he doesn't play hide and seek, but allows us to seek and find him. And in closing, let's turn to kind of our theme verse in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. And what we'll do is we'll quote this together, and then Pastor Frank, you can come and close the message. Matthew 7, 7 through 8. "You know, the people of Athens thought that God plays games. Hide and seek, see if you can find them. But yet, praise the Lord," in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8, "this is our God. Our God is seeking him and finding him." Okay, so let's go ahead and quote this together. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. Ready? "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Pastor Frank?
Thank you, Brother John. A lovely message. Great challenge for us to keep our eyes on the prize, which is to share that gospel with those children. And isn't it good to know that we serve a God who isn't hiding? He wants to be known. And that is such a joy that we have, that he has made himself known to us, and we have come to know him because he continually pours out his love and grace and everything upon us. So we are blessed to have known him, but our goal should not stop there. Our goal should be for ourselves to know him more, and our goal should also be, as we're seeking to do with Whole Air Bible Club, to have others know him. So that's our goal. And if we can achieve those two things, if we can actually come to know him more and more in our lives, and our joy overflows more and more, and they see more and more of our light in the world, and they're drawn to that light as well. So let's pray for our Holiday Bible Club. Pray for the children that will be attending, also for the parents that will be sending them there. And pray for us as we seek to minister to those children in a way that they would understand as well. So praise God. Thank you very much for that message. God bless you. And what we're hoping for that will happen at that Holiday Bible Club is that decisions would be made, decisions to follow Jesus. So that's what we're praying for. So I'm going to get you to turn to close up in a hymn, 397 in your hymn books. "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." I'm sure all of you have made that decision while you're here. If there is any who is not sure whether they're following Jesus or have made that decision, please come and see us after this service. Let's stand as we sing, "I've Decided to Follow Jesus." I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. On the last. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me.
The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
It was lovely to have you all sharing this time with us. Thank you once again for the word of God that's gone forth. Let's close in a word of prayer and ask for God's blessing upon us. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. We thank you for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has gone before us, endured the cross for us, and shed his blood that our sins might be cleansed. And we just thank you for that wonderful salvation which we can enjoy today because of his righteousness, perfection, obedience, and love. And Father, we just pray that we would continue on this path, that we would follow our Savior each and every step of the way. We'd be growing closer to him as we've decided to follow. Father, I pray that we would be faithful followers in all things. We pray that you would bless us as we depart from this place. We pray that your blessing would be upon the Holiday Bible Club and every child that attends and every worker that's involved. We pray that the work of your Spirit would be mighty in that place over those 2 days. And Father, I thank you once again that you have invited us to join you in the amazing work that you do. We thank you for your grace. We thank you in anticipation already for what you will do in the hearts and the lives of those people who we seek to minister to. And we thank you for the work that you've already done in our lives. We thank you once again for this group that's come to minister to us. We pray for your blessing upon them. Father, as they travel around and they minister to various churches, keep them safe, keep them focused, keep them energized for the work at hand. But Father, pour out your grace upon them that they may minister and learn and grow through this time, closer to you, more bold for you, seeking, Father, to do your will in every part of their lives. We thank you once again for your goodness to us. We look forward to another day to be with you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
God bless you all.